It'll be that. Then we're learning about God. That's the way that, what I'm beginning to see is the way that God influences our lives is where we really personally learn about God. You know, we can say God is omniscient, omnipresent out here. What does that have to do with the dealing of a husband and wife or with family, friends, whatever the case may be? And when we realize this is what God would have me to do, wow, that tells you about the God. This is now a personal relationship with God. So here we're seeing love is known in a person. It's not an abstract concept. We're not going to learn about love out here as some concept. We're going to learn about love as it relates to a person. Then we saw under B that love is known or knowable in the person of God. Love is known in God. Then we saw C, love is knowable in the person of Jesus Christ. We saw it in reference to God because God is love. We spent a lot of some time there. Then we saw it in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what we're looking at under D is that we're looking at the love relationship between of God and Jesus Christ. God and the love of Jesus Christ. We started by looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. That took us to John 14. So let's turn now tonight to John 14. This is where we have taken ourselves to in our study, is to John 14, where we left off. Now, under John 14, we're looking at verse 21. John 14:21. He who has my commandments, and remember the commandments, faith and love, and keeps them, the way we keep them is walking by faith in the Spirit, is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Okay, now last week we spent some time here and had a wonderful time together last Tuesday, so let's go over it. Point one, in this sense, it starts with us. Now, of course, it starts before that with God, because we love him because he loved us. But it starts off with our faith directed toward God, the Holy Spirit. That puts everything into action. That puts everything into operation because now God is at work. So here now is God at work. God, the Holy Spirit pours spiritual love in you. Now, three, spiritual love directed toward Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is something spiritual love does, spiritual love directed toward Jesus Christ. Now what happens? When this love, this is where we're talking about in verse 21, 14:21, it says, and he who loves me. Okay, how do we love him? That God, the Holy Spirit, pours his spiritual love. His spiritual love is directed toward Jesus Christ. What does Jesus Christ do then? Jesus Christ then discloses. And I love that word. I'm getting to, the money. We're going to use it in the communion study. We're going to be using it a lot. I've just taken a journey in scriptures with it. Discloses. Jesus Christ then discloses himself. Jesus Christ discloses himself, and we spent a lot of time last week dealing with disclosure, how a lot of people won't do that for fear and a lot of reasons, but this is essential in a relationship, is disclosing. So Jesus Christ discloses himself to us. Now, what happens when he does that? When Jesus Christ discloses himself, then we know him. Therefore, we turn and look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know him. Okay? Now, having now this relationship of knowing him, now we're ready for the next thing that could happen once we know him, as we know him, we're starting to be transformed into his image. We're being transformed into his image. He has revealed himself, and we're being transformed in his image. And this is what we talked about to people who lived together for a long time, 50, 60, 75 years. It's just almost like one person after that long. And so we start becoming transformed into his image, and then we close it up to keep it a nice seven and number. We close it up with, and his image is the image of whom? God. Okay. So what we're doing, we're being transformed into the image of God, and that takes us back to Genesis. Man was created in the garden in his image. It's going to go all the way back. This is a beautiful thing that God is doing, taking us back to this wonderful place and relationship with him. So this is the point that we are, where we are in our study. I will love him and disclose myself to him. And we talked about how many Christians meet Jesus Christ. They're going to meet a stranger. But you don't have to. You don't have to meet a stranger. You can meet someone that you've known very personally right here on earth. Many Christians have an erroneous view about Jesus Christ. Why would that be? And I'm talking about people who study the Scripture. When I make this kind of statement, I'm not talking about the people who don't care. I'm talking about the people who do care. That's a very important point Sunday morning in the crisis of faith. When does it begin? When you go to God, not when you run from God. The crisis of faith, Mary and Martha went to him in prayer, and he didn't respond. Job went to him, and he didn't respond the way Job thought he should. That's when the trouble begins, when we go to him. You're on a journey. Not when you run from him, and you have another set of problems that time, but the problem in the crisis of faith begins when you run to him, and he doesn't respond. So a lot of people don't know Jesus Christ. They have this one view, they have their view of Jesus, and it generally is a Jesus Christ or a God that is painted, disclosed by law. Not by him, but by law. You get a very good picture about him by understanding the law. See? And that's very easy to do. All you have to know is some men, and I pick on men here. And all you have to do to really get to know some men, and you see movies of them, the great Sandini is a movie like this, is just to know the Marine Corps manual. If you know the Marine Corps manual, you'll know that person. Because that's what they are. But you see, with Jesus Christ, it isn't going to be by knowing the law. He's going to have to disclose himself to us personally. When we love him, he responds by disclosing himself. So we're commanded to love as he loved. To do this, we come to know him. The more we get to know him, the more we're going to love as he loved. The more we love as he loved, we're going to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So if you have an erroneous view of Jesus Christ, he's not going to reveal who and what he is. He's more and more going to look like. He is going to look like, I'm talking about knowing Jesus Christ personally. He is going to look like the law. This is what Isaiah 28 said, 28:13. So the word of God, gospel, to them will become, do and do, do and do. So you can study the word, study the scriptures, and come out with an idea of what God is like. He's not revealing himself to you. Law is. And that's going to be the view that you have of God. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Let's go over to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 now. One of the great passages on ourselves and love. Okay, verse 1, which we have studied, be imitators of God as beloved children. Paul uses the same word for children that our Lord used in John 13, the term of endearment. Beloved, as beloved children. This is, people, what you are in Jesus Christ. This is what you are in Jesus Christ. You are beloved by the Father because of your position in Jesus Christ. You are the object of His love. And now let's go to verse 2. What are we to imitate? The imitators of God as beloved children. Okay, what are we to imitate? It says in verse 2, walk in love. Okay, and walk in love. This is the new commandment given by Jesus Christ in John 13, 34 and 35. Reiterated in 1 John several times. The present active imperative, it means to walk constantly, moment by moment in your life. And what you want to do is, see, if we view our life as a walk of faith, okay, you're walking by faith, and when we first start, it may look something like this. And then you get to walking in faith, and it gets more like this. And then you get to where it becomes more like that. What you want to do is get to where those lines, those moment by moment of faith, becomes all what it looks like, a straight line. You can't even see. It becomes a continual walking by faith. And this is what we want our lives to be. Okay. Jesus Christ declared a new commandment I give to you. Paul, in reference to the new commandment, here uses the imperative. He uses the imperative, walk in faith. Many other the imperatives that we've noted. Walk in faith, pursue love, walk in love, pursue love. He says to put on love. All are forms of the new commandment. All are concepts of the new commandment. In this spiritual love, all commands, by the way, in spiritual love, all commands are fulfilled. Paul says in Romans chapter, I believe it's about 12, Paul says that love fulfills all commandments. Love fulfills all the law. You will not wrongfully hurt anybody, people, if you're doing love. Now, if you're doing righteousness, you will. If you're doing love, you can't. Scripture is very clear in this regard. Walk in love, agape. And that is the spiritual love that only the Holy Spirit can pour. This is not a love that you and I can manufacture. Okay, so here we have the love. This is not an abstract concept of love. This is not a self-satisfying love. This is a love that is known in a person. Jesus Christ said that all will know that you are mine. Here, if we are to imitate God, what are we going to do? We're going to walk in love. But do you see what I'm saying? Jesus Christ said, the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, by this, all will know that you are mine. Paul says, if we will do this, we will become imitators of God. They're both saying the same thing. It's a different way of saying the same thing over and over and over. If we love as Jesus Christ loves, people will know that we belong to Him, and we imitate God because He imitated God. So they will know that we belong to Him and we imitate God. So love is known in a person, so that we may know that person. Therefore, love is known in a person so that we may know God. Love is known in a person so that all may know Jesus Christ, so that all may know and experience how God loves. It really is in verse. It goes this way. Here we deal with the word all. All will know something about you. All refers to angel and man. It doesn't say all men. It says all. For spiritual warfare, angel and man will know something about you. Here they're learning about you. What are you disclosing to them? You are disclosing to them the love of God. So what they're going to learn is how God loves. People, how you love. I don't care what other people around you may say, what people around you may do. When you love as God loves, people are learning about God. They're not learning about you. And this will aggravate people in the human realm. I don't see how you can do that. Well, this is the way God loves. This is what happened at the cross. Satan was very mad about what happened at the cross, people. It does not make sense according to law. it does not make sense according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that at the cross all sins are forgiven, that at the cross is everything is taken away. That makes him furious. And loving as you, righteousness of God is not going to make anyone furious. But to love as Jesus Christ loved is going to make law, Satan, man who walked by law, it's going to make them furious. This decision doesn't make sense. You don't do that. You ought to do it this way. And this way is the way of logic, the way of thinking of man, the way it sounds good. The way you're doing it, I don't understand that. That's foolishness. And this is what his love will look like. For what we're here for in the short time that we have on earth, the short time we have on earth, is to let people know how God loves. So therefore, how you and I love one another, is the world going to learn by the way you and I love one another? Are they going to learn how God loves? Okay, walk in love. Now look at the next phrase, because here we have one of my pet words there. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. This is that very important adverb, kathos. And it's translated again, just as. And when we saw it in the New Commandment, you recall, we saw how Jesus Christ upped the stakes. What's the law say? Love one another as what? In the law. Love one another as? You love yourself. He upped the stakes. He pulled a fast one on us. He changed the game. He said, love one another just as I love you. So here, this is a very important just as. So let's just take a few points. One, I don't do it. Burden you with a great number of points. So let's look at a few points under just as. And boy, that's the kind of thing you've got to stop people. That lays out the whole thing for you. Now you know love can't be whatever I want it to be. See, love one another just as you love yourself. Boy, that gives me a lot of flexibility. But man, when we're confined by the word just as he loved, that just changes everything, but it lets us know. So as Christ also loved you. Okay, one. Just as. Greek adverb that specifies. It's a Greek adverb that specifies. Over and over we have this principle. We are not commanded to just walk in love. This Greek says that it is specific love. Not an abstract, not an ineffable love, but a most defined and knowable love. Just as Christ loved. So this cannot be a love that you want it to be. This cannot be a love that you get to love however you want to love, the way you want to love. Whatever your understanding of love is, from your parents, from your past, from whatever. Not here. This is very definitive. It tells us exactly what love. This is not a love that we can produce. The presence of this Greek adverb says this is a specific love, a love that is known in a person. Okay, point two. People have so much trouble with the concept of love and the action of love because they disassociate love. Because we disassociate love. This is why it happens to a lot of women and men. You get married and you have an abstract concept about love, and it gets us into so much trouble. It's some nebulous concept about, some poetic concept of love. And you get into all kinds of trouble and all kinds of ideas of what love is and isn't from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you love me, you wouldn't do this. And because I love you, you've got to do this. We make it a very abstract concept, and this is why people end up getting so hurt when it comes to love. How to love, how to know love, how to be loved. All of this is important. How to love, how to be loved, very important in the plan of God. But this love is knowable and in person, just as he loves. This is the love that we're to do. Now, our human merit has no, our human righteousness has no merit before God. People, our human good has no merit before God. Our morality has no merit before God. Put it in your soul and your notes. Our love has no merit before God. We may think a lot of it, but our merit, our love has no merit with God. No merit whatsoever. It's the love that He pours in us. It's the love that His Son likes. Point three. The adverb is used to introduce comparison. The adverb that we got on the board just as Kephas is used to introduce comparison. Your love, the way you love, your love for one another, your love for husband, wife, family, friends, church, all these things must follow the pattern of the love of Jesus Christ. It introduces a comparison. Does the way that you love, it will put you, does the way that you love, is it, well, actually I did that wrong, is the way that you love run parallel to the way that Jesus Christ loves? This is what you got to ask yourself. The way that I love, the way I express this love day in and day out in my life. People, this is where it intrudes on our life. Nothing will intrude on your life more than love. And, as we're seeing, this is where we're beginning to learn about God. This is what I was trying to say a moment ago. That the way that God intrudes on my life daily is where you and I really get to know about love, about God. So if because I think this is the way God loves, and this is the way I'm led of the Spirit to love, then this is where I begin to understand God. Not an abstract theology that we can write down in a book and get up and give a theological dissertation on and then go live like we want. When you and I live and you and I act and you and I treat one another and deal with one another and we claim this is, we're in the Spirit and this is of God, then this is what we're learning about God. This is the way God acts. This is what God does. We're really learning. We're really learning about God here in our own lives. I'm not talking about, you know, we could sit down and give, you know, infinite number of points about God. But boy, when you and I come down to how you and I live and we say, this is the way God acts, we are learning about God for us personally. Can't have an abstract theological God, but then over here, do whatever you want to do. No, it's right over here. If God really improves on our life, that we really learn about God. God wants me to forgive this way. Boy, that tells me what kind of God he is. See what I'm saying? Does this make sense to you? What I'm trying to say to you, this is where it really works. It's just like, I'll use extreme. Okay, parents tell their children one thing, but their daily life is lived in a whole other area. What do you think the children are really going to learn about their parents? Over here. Not over here. This over here is just abstract stuff. They're really going to learn here. Because this is how it's lived. Whatever this means, this is how it's lived day in and day out. So this is where it becomes real. So we can have a wonderful theology on Sunday over here, but the way we live with one another day in and day out, when we in sin, in tough times, and testing, and adversity, whatever's going on, how you and I live, that's what we're really learning about God. This is the way God wants me to act in this case. This is what God wants me to do. This is my view of God. Let me show you what I think about God. Not let me tell you. People, I don't care about your telling. You're not going to find that anywhere in Scripture. Tell people what you think about God all you want. How we deal over here. This is the way God acts, the way I'm going to teach you now. I'm not talking about when we sin against one another. I'm talking about when we teach somebody and we say we're in the Spirit and this is what God would have me to do. This is my view of God. This is my view of the way God works. I don't care about your theology. This out. Now, what is wonderful is when your theology over here lines up with your knowledge of God and your experience of God over here. That's wonderful. But this is where we really learn about God and where He imposes on us. So point three becomes very important in this ideal of a comparison. Your love is compared to His love. You don't get away with comparing your love to somebody else. People, we can always find somebody on earth who loves less than we do. Who don't love the way we do, we love a little better. Now, you don't get to compare it with one another. The comparison is just as Jesus Christ loved you. So, in this love, we're going to learn absolutely what love is about. In human love, we're prone to compare our love with other people. Just as I said. We love, they do this, they do not do this, I do this when I love. But in spiritual love, you do not have the privilege of comparing yourself with any other human being. There's only one person that this love is known in that is of importance. Only one person. Love is known in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So here you are, and you want to compare your love, and you want to compare the way that you love, you want to compare the demonstration of your love to different people in all circumstances of life, people. Well, it's right here. This is the person. Only one person. Nowhere in Scripture do you compare yourself with anybody else and how anybody else loves. You compare love as I have loved you, walk in love as He loved you. So this becomes the comparison. And it's going to intrude on your life, but it's a view of God. Jesus Christ gives us a great example. Okay. Here's a man, the world, sinners, eaten up on the road. All the religious people walk on the other side of the road. They are the religious leaders of Protestantism, everything. They're the religious leaders. They do walk on the other side of the road. Don't want it to intrude. They will go and give great dissertations about love and about God. But when they're walking down the road and you see what they really believe about God, they look the other way. That's their view of what God does. One comes by now, Samaritan. He comes by, pictures Jesus Christ, sees the man, goes over, it intrudes on your life. What I'm trying to say. How the daily moment by moment works. He came along, picked up the beaten person, restores his health, takes him to the inn, to the innkeeper. Now, by picture, who's the innkeeper, you remember? Who's the innkeeper? That if the good Samaritan is Jesus Christ and he turns him over to the innkeeper, who's the innkeeper? Holy Spirit. Turns him over to the Holy Spirit and says what? Take care of him until I come back. So the Holy Spirit's taking care of the church until he comes back. What I'm showing you is it's going to intrude on your life. It's going to intrude on your life, but this is where we're going to see how to love. In 2 Corinthians, Paul exhorts the believers to test themselves, face themselves. We are here to test ourselves. How does your love compare with the love of Jesus Christ toward you? There's your comparison. How does my love, the way I love husband, wife, friend, family, friends, people, especially one another, believers, how does my love compare with the way that Jesus Christ loves me? The only comparison that counts. No other comparison counts. Love is known in a person. The person is Jesus Christ. Why? Well, now I compare my love with this person. How this person loves. So we are compared to parallel to how Jesus Christ, and people, the beautiful thing is how He loves you. Not how He loves you. So you have experienced this love. Jesus Christ is the standard. Point four. The Greek adverb compares the manner in which we love. The Greek adverb compares the manner in which we love, just as Jesus Christ loved. How did He love? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, He loved sacrificially the self for the benefit of others. What does His love look like? His love is long-suffering. His love is kind. His love bears all things. And many things that we're going to be studying. His love, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Okay. Let's talk about Jesus Christ's love. Love is known in a person. So we'll say here, the love of Jesus Christ, love that by of I mean that comes through him, the love that comes through Jesus Christ glorifies whom? God the Father. Doesn't even glorify him. It doesn't even glorify him. It glorifies the Father. So, that's the idea. The love of Jesus Christ glorifies God the Father. So now here you and I are, and you love as Jesus Christ loved. Your love is not going to glorify you, I'm sorry. Your love is going to glorify the Son, and the Son's love glorifies the Father. It's going to glorify the Father. So here you are. You're way down on the pole. I decrease, that he increase. I decrease, walking by faith. He increase, walking by love. And the world now begins to get a picture. That's the love of Jesus Christ. How can you love that way? Because that's the way Jesus Christ loved me. That's why. And it's a very simple answer. That it shuts people's mouths, whether they agree with you or not, shuts their mouths. So the Greek adverb compares with how Jesus Christ loved. If you're going to love as Jesus Christ loved, then your love is going to be compared with his love. It is going to glorify him to glorify the Father. Point five. The Greek adverb is used to denote degree or magnitude. The Greek adverb is used to denote degree or magnitude. See that word as? That's degree or magnitude. That is, our love should be of the same magnitude as the love of Jesus Christ for you. Okay, now stay with me. The love, our love, should be of the same, if it's going to be just as, the same magnitude as the love of Jesus Christ. Now, what was the magnitude of his love? How was the magnitude of his love expressed? Not of God's, but of his. What did he do? He died. The magnitude of his love was he, 1 John 3:16, he laid down his life for us. Now, what is the magnitude of our love? What should we do? We should what? Lay down our lives for one another. What does that mean in practical sense? What that means is whatever it takes to restore, whatever that believer needs at that moment that I can supply. That's what that love looks like. That's the magnitude. So this just as the adverb here is the adverb of magnitude. It should be of that magnitude. Let's look. We're a Bible church. Let's look at 1 John 3:16. You can never look at it too many times. Everybody knows John 3:16. Let's look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Okay, he disclosed to us how he loved us. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, against means not going to take care of him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't. Only in word. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, talk about it, but in deed and truth. Deed. Let's talk about that, see if we're thinking correctly. Deed, whatever it is we do, okay? Whatever it is we do. Say the action. Well, this morning. Okay? That's what the deed. Now, what does that word mean? In truth. The reality of God and the power of the Spirit. This is where that comes in, John. In truth is in the reality of what God would have us to do, or the leading of God, the Holy Spirit. because we can do a dude. People, let's face the facts, we could pull the Good Samaritan. We can pull the Good Samaritan. We're driving down the road, and let's just have fun with it. One of us guys. And there's a beautiful gal who's got her car broken down. Oh! Go through traffic, get over there, get back there, ball get out, and I mean, take 3 hours and sweat and rain and everything else, and boy, we got a good deed. Yeah, the deed was done, not so serious and true. Or we just want to feel good about it. We just want to feel good about ourselves. And people, let's make no doubt about it, why it's so strong. In the human realm, it is good for the self to do something for others. But that isn't the truth that's being talked about here. Truth is in the reality of who and what God is. It's like worshiping in spirit and truth. Worshiping in truth. We're doing this in the reality of who and what God is. In the reality of what? His love. The reality of His love. All right, point six. Let's see if I can finish this up. Yes, point six. The Greek adverb, just as, that is, with the same impact or effect of His love. This is important. The same impact or effect of His love. Now, this is important because, question, Jesus Christ laid down His life for all. And that concept of thinking, that line of thinking, are all people going to be saved? No. No. What is my point here? My point is, you may not get the response from another person what you would like to get. God, if we can just stay with this line of thinking, God, and put this in quotes, God would like it. Everybody would believe in Jesus Christ the Savior. But not everybody's going to. So what is the effect or the impact of this love? Okay, what we're doing is, one, we are bringing to that believer, in this case, bringing to that believer the love of God, and therefore God's love is seen on earth at that time, and therefore He is glorified whether they respond or not. People, don't look always for... See, one thing about human love, we want response. Parent does things out of love for the child. Oh, we want the child, you know, to show something. Well, you're just an ungrateful little brat. You just don't appreciate things. Because appreciation is taught in the human realm by parents, but just making that point. We want something to come back to us. You may not in spiritual love. You may not get that in spiritual love. But the impact of the effect is still the same. When you love as Jesus Christ loves, the love of God being demonstrated at that point, because you're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, so therefore He is glorified at that point, no matter what happens. Now, how wonderful it is when what we lay down our life for, and they do respond, but people who lay down His life, a lot of people who didn't. But we want people that we lay it down, and hopefully they will respond and come and be restored to God. That's what we restore to God. Their needs will be met, whatever their needs are. Whatever these things are, they'll be met. And that is to His glory. That is to His glory. And people, we leave all of that stuff up to God. All the stuff about rewards and all this other thing, we'll leave all of that up to God at this point tonight. If anybody's going to keep score, it's going to be God, not us. We may not figure it all out. So, but we want the same point of the result. And the result will be that their needs will be met. If they need to be reconciled to God, if they have needs that are talked about in Scripture, the physical needs, spiritual needs, whatever it is that our love is there to encourage, that those things are laid down for them to have. The impact is their reconciliation or the meeting of their needs at that point. So they then will see what God is like. Okay, we will resume here then next Tuesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, where our journey has taken us tonight has once again brought us back to who and what You are and how You love. How You loved us. how Jesus Christ loved us. That's where we learn about love. Not from the world. There's so many voices saying there's no love in the world. There's no. Yes, there is. We've been touched by it. Our lives are daily touched by this love, so we know better. And in the framework of our life, we pray, Father, that we will love as Jesus Christ loved us. That in our corner of the world, your love will be glorified. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.